This is Love Seal Church, bearing the tidings of the blessed hope and the glorious liberty of the sons of God. We earnestly pray that you experience a breaking forth in the quantum leap into all the promises of God for you. Gird up the loins of your mind and heart as you obtain mercy to find grace by the word of God coming through God's own servant at this time to you. Be ready for great impartation of the Spirit and life. Happy listening.
Hallelujah. Can we just lift our hands to the Lord tonight as we take prayer? As a result of tonight's meeting, a portion of the throne will be built in our midst. I want you to talk to the Lord Jesus. I want you to be very conscious about it. You can lift your hands to the Lord tonight and just pray. Pray for yourself that your heart tonight will find mercy for to raise a building unto the Lord in the name of the Lord Jesus. As an assembly tonight, we're going to find the mercy of the Lord. We're going to find such mercy. Such mercy. The presence of the Lord will be established in our midst, established in your heart, established in your minds in the name of the Lord Jesus. We invite you, our God. We trust you for that expression here tonight in the name of Jesus. We are grateful, O God. We are grateful to you, Lord Jesus. We are grateful to you, Lord Jesus. We believe you for this, and we trust that these prayers will be answered, O God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. In Jesus' name we have prayed. Amen.
See me from within. See me. See me amidst. See me. See me. See me, see me, see me, see me in your midst. See me in your midst. See me in your hearts. Look within, look from within, look from within, and you will see me. You will see that I'm close. You see that I'm here. You will see that I'm near. I'm near. I'm near. I'm near. I'm here. I'm here. I'm here. Opening forth things of my Father. Things of my Father. Things that pertain to the throne of my Father. Mi ofetononi apofratosina toshiminete. See me and take of me. Take of me. Take of me. Receive. Receive me. Receive me. See me. Receive me. Receive me. For I'm bringing my Father. I'm bringing the things of my Father. The things my Father gave unto me. Oh, see me bringing. See me bringing. So you see, you should receive. Receive me. See me and receive me. For I'm around, says Jesus.
Hallelujah. May our hearts be blessed with grace and mercy to receive tonight in the name of the Lord Jesus. We trust the Lord that our eyes really will be opened much more for to see the Lord in our midst, in the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. All right, without any further ado, tonight we're going to be reviewing messages taught by our patriarch, Reverend Olabode Busui. God's servant, Reverend Olabode, ministered 2 times on 2 messages at the Believers Convention. One that was titled The Agenda of the Reign of the Throne, and the second one, which was titled The Unveiling the Power in the Judgment of the Throne. So first of all, for the first 3 people whom I will calling up, we'll be reviewing the first message, The Agenda of the Reign of the Throne. Can we just put our hands together as we welcome our dear sister, Sister Damaris Christopher, as she comes up to take this review.
Good evening, church. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Or what I learned. So the message was emphasizing the process of attaining what God has for man. If we look at Genesis 1, it said, so God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them, and God said unto them, be fruitful, multiply, and replenish the earth. Yeah, and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the earth. You know, where we see dominion, I mean, we know that, you know, there was a throne, you know, because you can't have dominion, you know, when there is no throne. But after the fall of man, man lost that dominion. He lost that throne. So it means that God's plan was for man to sit on the throne. So when they said the times of the throne, me, I see it as God administering activities of the throne to bring us back to his original plan. If we look at Matthew chapter 28, it says, go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Ghost. So we see that there are different allocations. You know, one of the things that Reverend Busui said, that there are different entry points into the church. You know, people came in via activities of the Holy Ghost. It's not okay that we stay, because the actual name that will bring man to the entrance of the kingdom is the name of Christ. So that's why I said the message for me was emphasizing the journey for us, because it's an image that will sit on the throne. It's not a baby that will sit on the throne. So when we are saying times of the throne, it's an emphasis calling us to journey, because the person that will sit on the throne is an image. And we can see that Christ has embodied the image of the heavenly. So if we say Christ has embodied the image of the heavenly, so that means he is like our reference point. So Christ is like a reference point. So when you say reference point, it's somebody that you are looking up to, or somebody that you are looking at. So there's a tutelage in Christ, you know, where the conversation takes place. You know, so we are supposed to go through a teaching that would bring us to where we want to. It's after we have fulfilled the tutelage of Christ that we can then say that we have inherited the name of the Father. For instance, you get admission to school, you know, to read medicine and surgery. So will you just say that because they've given me admission, I am now a doctor, I'm a qualified doctor? No. Okay, so it means that you have to go through a tutelage. You have to go through a journey. And in that process of going through journey, there are things in you that, by virtue of their speakings, they will speak things in you because of where you are going to. So you go through different curriculums, different syllables, all of it is just to get one goal, you know, to make you, by the end of a period of time, they can then say, oh, this is a certified doctor or a qualified doctor. So I just use that example to show that we are on a journey, and it's only those that inherit the name that can actually sit on the throne. So it's okay for us to go, you know, and hear time, but we should also know that it's also an emphasis in this season for us to journey. So he said, we were not saved to just manifest the gift of the Spirit, but we were saved for a particular purpose. Like somebody used to say that when you give your life to Christ, after giving your life to Christ, they don't take you away to heaven. They won't take you, you know, they will still leave you here, because it's not in the name of the Holy Ghost that you inherit the Father. So they will still allow you journey to Christ. And that's what we are doing. You know, by virtue of how we are journeying, there are a lot of things in us that the Lord would consume. There are a lot of things in us in the process that he would allow, you know, fire to try to burn those things. Because, you know, it's like the battle of two thrones. Sin is a throne. You know, sometimes you pray, oh Lord, I'm sorry. The same thing that you say you're sorry for, you still find yourself, because it's a throne. It's not something that you can just wish, wash, or walk out of like that. You know, one of the cries in my heart, you know, when I was listening to the message at Believers Convention, is that I would allow the Lord, because when he's administering activities of the throne, there's a way I can fight the process and not allow him really take off all the garments that he's meant to take off for me to be able to come into all that. I can fight the process and feel that, okay, you know, so when instructions come, I don't do them, or I do them partly. And there's something he also said, that, you know, there's a way people can praise you. Oh, this sister is very spiritual, you know, and you just think that you have arrived at where you have not arrived at. So in our walk with God, we should look forward to be justified in the spirit. You know, because we know that even when men applaud us or praise us, still, if we're sincere to ourselves, we know that there are still things in us that still hinders the workings of God. There's still a lot of darkness in us that the Lord needs to uncover. So that will keep you in a place of, you know, humility, knowing that you are still a work in progress. And as everybody is journeying, you are also journeying. You are not exempted from that journey. Praise God.
Hallelujah. Thank you so much, Ma. I believe we're all blessed by that. I remember Reverend Busui saying that day that sin in itself is a throne. And the fact that a throne is anything that uses a rule. So for sin in itself to have reigned over men, reigned over every man, it means that sin itself also has a throne. So when she was saying that this arrangement is almost as though it's an arrangement of a throne for a throne. So one of the things that Reverend Busui was saying was that this throne is supposed to dethrone another throne on our inside. And before we get to this, one of the things that she was saying, for example, around people that are around the sphere of the Holy Ghost, and around the sphere of Christ, is that the Holy Ghost, the name of the Holy Ghost, the name of Christ, is supposed to serve as a springboard for to push us into that arrangement of the Father's throne, so that we can now dethrone that throne of sin and death. You know, the Lord will help us. I know that there's still a lot to still unpack, you know, in the message, and we will trust the Lord that our pastor, Pastor Femi, will help to take us further in sharing his own experience.
Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Thank you so much, Master Damaris, for helping us to break that ground. One of the trusts that message on the third day, you know, the morning session, one of the trusts is the exaltation of the throne in dealing with a throne, right? And God's servant, Reverend Busui, started by emphasizing the efficacy of the gospel. How that the gospel is the answer of God to the depravity of man. Man is under a depravity that he has no answer to. Man is in a prison. Man is under a bondage that if you leave man for the next 20,000 years to reason out a way of escape, man will never escape. So Reverend Busui began to say that the gospel is God's answer to the limitation and the depravity, the slavery of mankind. You know, somewhere there's still something that still enslaves us. There's still something that has not allowed Jesus, our Lord, to be able to wave us in a very high way to God as token of his victory. You know, because something is still pressing hard on us, that this ministry and this season that we have come into is potent enough to be able to undo. He charted that course, showing the different dispensation of the gospel, and now that the real profit of any dispensation of the gospel is to bet into the next gospel. If you make use of a dispensation, let's say the name of the Holy Ghost, and it does not bring you into the corridor of Christ, you've not really profited. The primary burden and profit of every dispensation is to move you up to the next allocation until we're able to come into the core of the gospel, which is the kingdom of the Father. Until we're able to come into that place where everyone is able to participate in the kingdom of the Father, because that is where the real gospel that Jesus ministered is concentrated. Even in the days of our flesh, we are unable to take flight, make journey to arrive at that place of the kingdom of the Father, then we've not really benefited from the primary work that Jesus came to do. The primary purpose of the ministry of the Son of God and the primary purpose of the ministry of the high priest. And then as he pushed that burden to begin to show us that the reason why we are where we are is because of a throne. And he said every throne is an administration of a face. The core of the gospel is in the face of our Lord Jesus. Scripture calls it the light of the knowledge of the glorious gospel of Christ in the face of Jesus. I'm saying, why face? It's because my problem is a face. Something has been cast over the face, and my face is my heart. And without the heart, you know, what God primarily reckons with as a man, primarily, eventually, is the heart of a man. But Satan, our adversary, has done a work that has legislated a cast. The cast that is unable to make even a man who might have made use of certain conversation and supplies in the dispensation of Christ, that cast is still potent enough without the supply of the gospel of the kingdom of the Father to cause a man not to press into anything more in God than that which is found in Christ. So we began to see in that message that there is a need for the ministry of the Son of God. There's a need for the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ to introduce his throne, because of the throne that is latent and that is at work in every man that is upon the earth. And one beautiful thing that I saw, you know, as I listened to the message, is when he began to push the thoughts, you know, God's servant, into the place of destruction. And that really was my meditation. Because the core of the victory of the throne, when I would say the throne is beginning to really minister to me, is that my destruction is being visited. When I would say that the throne is really visiting me, is that that work of Satan, he said the last enemy that shall be destroyed. And that word caught my attention, destroyed. And I started seeing that really, every time they really spoke about the ministry of the Son, they use that word destroy. Because what Satan has really done to us somewhere there is to destroy us. How do you know Satan has destroyed you? Satan has so done a work in man that even if that man drops his body and it goes to heaven, as we all say, there is something that Satan has done that we follow into that place and cut you short of the blessed or the most glorious estate you can be there. So you are in heaven, or you are even translated into the world to come, but your placement is as a result of a work of a throne that was done in the days of your flesh. So Reverend began to say that, and this victory is a victory that we must hasten to ensure we come into in the days of our flesh, because the measure or the degree to which we are able to participate in the victory of the Son, the victory of the throne in the days of our flesh, spells our alignment, spells our reward. He said, it spells our reward even in the ages to come. So he said, the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. And he quoted Psalm 91, said, not for the pestilence that walketh in darkness, nor for the destruction that wasteth. So hell and death can fight a soul at noonday. At noonday is a day of light. There's a way you are quite discreet and careful at night, even in the natural. But at noonday, you have some boldness to go to certain places that you won't try to go at night, right? Because a noonday is a time of safety. This noonday is not just noonday of Satan. It can be noonday of a Christ that have light. The same way you found with the seven churches, they had some light, but hell was warring against them. Hell wanted to destroy a work. Those churches that were already smelling the promise, they were built up by light. Those were churches that had obeyed God. But there was still something that the throne of Satan had that could undo them at noonday. He said, not for the destruction. Because at noonday, they don't steal from you. In fact, that parable of Jesus said that the thief will come at night. But then there was a revelation that began to show us that there is a wastage that can happen at noonday. And that wastage, I wonder why they use that wastage. Because somewhere there, it might be because we are careless more at noonday. A noonday is a place where you just look at your soul. On the outside, you feel fine. Your pastor can even like you. Your workplace, they like you. You have a conversation that the brethren likes. But there is something that is still wasting on the inside. He calls it a destruction. Why is it a destruction? You may not know it. It's a destruction that if a certain visitation of the throne does not come, you may not see that you are being destroyed. You may not see it. Each time you see the emphasis of the Son of God, he said, for this purpose is the Son of God made manifest, that he may destroy. You see also he was coming with destruction, because what he wants to deal with at that season is destruction. The last enemy that shall be destroyed. You can see that word destruction again. In another place again in Corinthians, you see the word destruction. So each time they kept eroding the ministry of the Son of God, the ministry of the throne, what they were emphasizing was destruction. That throne is to destroy destruction. That throne is to destroy the things that are capable of wasting a man who has possessed certain treasures in Christ. But there is still something that the throne of sin, and he called those thrones, he said, sin, hell, and death. And we know that sin have his own death. Hell also have his own death. And many of us, you know, many times we don't even know what hell is. I'm sure that in this season, the Lord is going to show us what really hell is. Because we don't know it. Hell is not burning in fire. That's not hell. Hell is a life that most time we can love. Hell is a life that most time we embrace, but you don't know it's hellish. Because outwardly, it does not paint you bad, but inwardly, it is a wastage. Do you know how wastage happens? If you lose 2 million naira, it may not really be a wastage. How do we lose money naturally? We say somebody is a waster. It's just little. You see something, 200 naira, you buy it. You see something, 10,000 naira, you buy it. You are not doing it big. It's not in a quantum measure that you can easily dictate that I'm wasting. That's the same wisdom that the adversary used in that season. It is the wisdom of the throne. Because everyone was saying that throne of sin, the throne of hell and the throne of death. He said it is also a wisdom. The wisdom of wastage is a wisdom that can make a man waste life. You may not waste what you already have, but you may waste opportunities. Arrangement is a wastage. You may not be wasting some conversations or currency of Christ that you have labored for, that you have already earned, but you may be wasting arrangement that the Lord really is conditioning us for, to be able to deliver us from this throne of hell and death. I pray that the Lord is going to really shine the light, you know, of this message more in the name of Jesus. Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir. I believe one of the things that, you know, in these times of his throne, one of the things that the Lord will be doing for to deal with that wastage, you know, that Pastor Femi was talking about, is that the Lord will be healing our cisterns. That scripture spoke about broken cisterns. It says that they cannot hold water. That the Lord will heal some of those places where we let go of opportunities to increase in life. One of the things that Reverend Busui said, he said that as we move towards God, he moves towards us. Every step closer. Now, you take steps by opportunities. It means that every day in our daily conversations, you have opportunities to take steps towards God, towards the throne. It says that every step closer is not just progress. It is inheritance. This inheritance does not wait until the end. With every step nearer, you partake of it. So that thought just flashed through my mind when Pastor Femi was saying that somewhere as a result of that work of Satan in our midst, sometimes you get to the world to come and your placement is really as a result of that work. So really, again, you can say in another manner, you can say your placement there is as a result of how many opportunities you took or maximized when you had such opportunities here. So I'm trusting the Lord that the Lord will heal us of that wasting attitude, of that nature of wasting opportunities to increase in life. Can we say amen? You know, take us further lastly on this message. Can we just put our hands together for Pastor Dayo Mustafa, you know, as he takes us further.
Amen. Hallelujah. Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. We thank God for Believers Convention 2025. Topic or the theme, you know, for the administration is actually the agenda of the reign of the throne. Which means that every throne has its agenda, has its course, has its law that it must run. And that is why, without having proper understanding of the agenda of the reign of the throne of God, there is no way we can actually overcome the reign of the throne of sin. You know, Reverend Busui said during the message, he said the strength of Satan is actually the covering cast, which is blindness. So you see that the more invincible a throne is, the more powerful it is. Psalm 94 verse 20, it says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? So you see that iniquity is a throne. And iniquity as a throne, you can also call iniquity death. He said, which frameth mischief by a law. Next verse, he said, they gather themselves together against the souls of the righteous. He was talking about the throne of iniquity, but in the next verse, he was saying that they gather themselves together. So who are the they that gather themselves together? So he's talking about, if we read the book of Revelation, we'll see that death is a throne. Hell is a throne. Sin is a throne. According to the way Reverend Busui broke it down, I see the throne of sin as what is easily with man. The way the Godhead had to partition themselves into different stratas and levels for a work to be done, so also the throne of iniquity or death had to also partition itself so that man can come to the end. So sin is easily with us. And that is a throne. So it influences the way we think. And how does it influence the way we think? By that covering cast. It influences our thought, our deeds, because you carry out deeds as a result of thought. And that's why in the book of Isaiah, it said, let the what? The wicked man depart from what? Forsake his ways. An unrighteous man is thought. So the throne of sin has other higher throne that is ruling it, which is the what? The throne of hell, the throne of death, which is also iniquity. And that's why when you read the book of Revelation chapter 20, you see that Satan is not even the last enemy of God. In that 1 Corinthians chapter 15, it said the last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. In the book of Revelation chapter 20, verse 10, it says, and the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, which the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever. You will have thought they should close the Bible. But really, Satan himself is a servant of the kingdom of sin, hell, and death. The scripture says in the book of Ezekiel chapter 28, he was full of wisdom, perfect in beauty, until iniquity. So in this Psalm 94, you see that the throne of iniquity risen and visited Lucifer over time, and he gave in. And a time came that iniquity was found in him. So the real enemy of God is actually death or iniquity. Now some people pray against Satan, but that's not even the last enemy. He's just a servant also serving a throne. So when evil spirits like malice, when they visit us, when evil spirit of unforgiveness, all those things, they are servants of a throne. And they are to teach us how to serve the throne of sin, hell, and death. And that is why you see that now to overcome the throne of hell and death, they have to open a throne also. Revelation chapter 20, verse 11. And I saw a what? A great white throne. And sat on the throne, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. Verse 13. He said, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and what? Hell delivered up the dead which were in them, and they were judged, every man according to their works. You know, one thing I found, that no matter the strength of sin, hell, and death in our soul, as long as we are still in this body, when the throne of God is in town, there can still be deliverance. Which means that this oppression of the times of the throne is actually a season of hope for us. That no matter the region of death and hell we've gone into, that there can still be restoration. Because the throne of God is capable of delivering us from every other throne that he that has been ruling over us. He now said in verse 14, he said, and death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever
was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So they had to open the operation of the throne, the operation of the white throne, to even judge hell and death. And that is why we are actually in a great time. We are in a great season. And the Lord began to, I said, from this revelation and all, what can I draw from it? He said, in this season, watch over haste. He said, one of the strength of sin is that he hastens you up. Because the strength of the throne of sin is actually to do the bidding thereof. So, when thought visits us, check it again. And which will also still bring us to that place of submitting thoughts. You know, I also see it that it's not disjointed, even maintaining spirit-filled life. It should teach us how to judge thoughts. Where is the thought coming from? Where is it going to? Because every thought that comes to you is coming from a place. And the essence of that thought is to take you to where it's coming from. So, is the thought from the throne of God? Is the thought from what? From hell. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name.
Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. That was powerful. Can we say amen? As he was speaking, I was just, you know, thinking about the strength and power of sin. It's one of the things that Reverend Busiri said, what makes sin and death so difficult to overcome is that they are thronic beings. They are kingdoms with thrones. Their thrones wield such force that even the throne of sin was powerful enough to bring Lucifer down. So it means, therefore, that what you are dealing with, what you are supposed to war against, all right, was powerful enough to bring down your adversary. All right, it means that you yourself must be strengthened with something else. And that was where he now started talking about the law. Scripture in Psalms 94. It says, shall the throne of iniquity have fellowship with thee? It said, which frameth mischief by a law. So it means that the way you deal with the throne, or the tie with a throne, is really its law. So if the more you fellowship with a law, the more you are fellowshipping with the throne. So really, one of the ways that we can invite the throne to ourselves, to our person, is that we need to fellowship with a law. So the way Pastor Dio rounded is also to say that sometimes we need to take some time to judge the source of some thoughts. You know, every thought has a law. You know, there's a law behind every thought that you should judge and then be able to take a position so that you not end up in some places that, you know, you don't know. Can we say amen? All right. We've not exhausted everything, you know, in this message, but we need to go on to the next message that was ministered by, you know, Reverend Olabode Busui, titled Unveiling the Power in the Judgment of the Throne. Can we just welcome Pastor Timi Owoigbe as he comes up to take us?
Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Thank you so much, Pastor Dayo, Pastor Femi, and Mama Damaris. That was explanatory and a blessing to us indeed. And when Reverend wanted to start the second message on, I think, day 5, he had to refer back to that, said, I will continue from where I stopped. And where I would have started from was where Pastor Dayo, you know, took time to explain about the throne of sin, throne of hell, and throne of death. And the truth is that Pastor Dayo mentioned that the throne of sin has higher thrones that reign above it. And in 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 54, where Reverend Busui started from, what a very powerful message. And so he said that, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. So what God wants to achieve over every mankind, what God wants to do over every soul that lives, is that he wants to bring to pass the saying that death is swallowed up. So they don't just want to heal you of your sin. They don't want to deliver you from hell. What they want to do is that they want to capture death. And they want you to have victory over death. You know, in verse, I think, 56 or 57, thereabouts, it says that, but thanks be to God that giveth us the victory. So what they want to do is they want to hand over what fell Satan, what Satan is helpless to, right? They want to give man a key, answer, victory to that thing. And, you know, he mentioned that is why the throne is come.
That is why the throne is set. That's why the throne hurts to minister, is to bring to pass that saying that death is swallowed up in victory. And, you know, he started by making us see what death really is. You know, death is not that agency that lures you to sin. Death is not the one that seduces you. When they will say that death has power over a man, is that that man has lost his will. That man has willingly submitted his will, and he feels helpless to whatever he's doing. And you hear the man saying that, I've tried everything. Nothing is working. I don't think anything can happen. You hear him say that it's impossible, right? And what we are saying is impossible. His habits, his nature. So sin is that agency that, you know, your will is submitted. It seems as though you have no power. And Reverend Busi made a very bold statement that, you know, it's not as though you don't have power or you don't have a will anymore. It's that sin, hell, and death have deceived you to think that there is no other outcome. There is no other way that thing can go. Is that he said that you still have your will somewhere, but they have just, you know, beaten your mind to a corner that you feel that you are defeated. You feel that there is no other way it can go, that you are already in bondage to it. And, you know, when he said that, I saw a video online some years back. It was a horse with his bits and his bridle. They now tied the horse to a plastic chair. And interestingly, for hours, that horse stood on that spot, not knowing that what is holding him down is not really as powerful. He can run and carry that chair away. But because of the bridle and the bits in the mouth of that horse, he feels defeated. He feels tied. He feels, you know, held down to a spot. You know, another one I saw was on the ground. An ant was moving, and they made a circle around the ant, right? And you just see that instead of the ant to cross over, when it gets to the boundary, the edge of the circle, you just see the ant turn back. But eventually, the person now made a mistake of right in front of the ant, he just made a line. Then out of, maybe the ant was already running, he just passed over that line. And before you know it, every other line that the person was drawing, that he could no longer hold that ant bound. So I just see that when they say that they tame an animal, that they can put bit and bridle in his mouth, that they can domesticate an animal, that's actually what sin and death wants to do to every one of us. When sin is done, he wants to domesticate you, and you willingly surrender to sin. You willingly do the bidding of sin until he hands you over to death, and death will hand you over to the grave. At that point, you now feel helpless. You feel like there is no other thing that can rescue you. And then when he would say again, he said that sin is strong, but there is something as strong as sin. He called it love, because sin is a love. Death is a love. He said that when they say love not the world, right, and the things that are in the world, that is how sin perpetuates. That's how sin hands you over to death. He gives you love, something to love that is inordinate, so that he can hand you over to death. So the same way, he said love is strong as death, meaning that to bring to pass that saying that death is swallowed up, love is a potent tool. Love is the constituent of that throne. When they say the throne of God, what is seated on the throne is heated love. And that love can defeat any death. It can defeat any sin. It can defeat any grave. I just saw in Luke 7, Jesus and the woman with the alabaster box. The disciples came to him. They said that if he were a prophet, he would not have allowed the woman with the alabaster to wash his feet and to use her hair on his leg. And Jesus gave a parable. He said that there is a man that two servants were owing him. He said to one, there is 50 pence was owed. To the other, 500 pence was owed. He said that he forgave them both. And he asked that, who had he forgiven much? And the disciple replied, they said that to him that he was owing 500 pence. They now say that the same thing about this woman. He said that because she has loved much, he said her sins which are many have forgiven. So I just saw that this woman understood the concept of how to break free from a throne. That thing of love. He said her sins which are many are forgiven because she loved much. He now said, but to whom little is forgiven, he said, the same loveth little. So I just see how the potency of the throne is how well you can love. So when they say righteousness is of the throne, it actually is love in a sense. So, you know, for those of us that have used certain infirmities and we tried breaking free, for instance, malice, I will not be contentious. I will not be jealous. I will not be angry. What you should do is just to love. He said that love is as strong as death. So anything death has worked upon, love can raise it out of the dead. Love can raise out of the grave. Because here, what he was saying is not necessarily sin in quantity. It's actually sin in quality. He said our sins which are little are forgiven because he has loved a little. Meaning the quality of our love is a little. So the same way we want to break free from any sin, no matter how it has ravaged your soul, can you just love much? Can you just exercise in a very great dimension of love? And eventually he ended in Psalm 89, I think verse 14, when he said that justice and judgment are the habitation of thy throne. You know, he said that what the throne gives out is judgment. What the throne exudes is judgment and righteousness, because that justice is righteousness. It was like when anybody asks of thee, he said that you must be able to give answer. And that ask is that sin will ask of you. In your relationship with your brethren, there are things that will ask of you. And he said that your answer really is judgment. And that judgment is love. You know, I just see that personally, the way they came in different direction, you know, different strength of words, different strength of light, is that if I can just try my best to love, I will break free from certain infirmities. I will break free from certain sins. And my death will be destroyed indeed. I just pray that the Lord would help us, you know, to harness the power that is in what our parents have said, so that indeed the saying can be brought to pass in our life, that death is swallowed up in victory.
Amen. Hallelujah. One of the things he started with when he was speaking was to say that the times of his throne is a time of victory. The time of his throne is a time of victory and triumph. He says it is a time of the reign of God's life over all the things that have reigned over men. So, of course, certainly he now went in the direction of love. For to say that, he was saying that, quoting that scripture in Songs of Solomon, where he said that there is love that is as strong as death. One of the things he said, you know, along these lines, was talking about the effect of love on the will of anybody. You know that anyone that gives his will over to something is as a result of a love. If you love something, there's a way you can sell your will. We must have seen, you understand, where a husband is strong, he wants to do something. When you bring his wife into the room, there's a way he can just calm down. You understand why? His will is also submitted to that woman. Not for anything else, but because of a love. So one of the things that I believe that we need to trust the Lord for, as in this season that we are, is that the Lord should pour love for him in our hearts. You know, out of a place of love, you can let go some things, you know, so that you can take another thing. Can we say amen? You know, I'm trusting the Lord that the Lord will help us. If there's one place we should labor in prayers concerning, is concerning that position, that place of love for the Lord, much more than what we love. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. To take us further, I mean, we'll welcome Sister Sheon Aremu.
Good evening, Daddy. Good evening, Mommy. Good evening, pastors. Good evening, elders. Good evening, everyone. Listening to Reverend Busui's message again brought so much understanding to me, and from the theme, the time of the thrones, there's been a throne that's been dominant, that's preceded in our lives for many times, and there's another throne that they want to bring to us, to lead, to raise us, and to build us. And this time for us to come out from this throne that has been in our lives for a long time, the throne of sin, hell, and death that has been over time, then there's a need for another throne to come. And how will this throne come? It's just that we have to learn righteousness. We have to follow righteousness. And there's one of the emphases, even for me listening again, is the fact that it does not matter what I'm going through, I'm passing through, I should not give up on myself. Talking about will. So I've seen many times, maybe because I've used certain habits for a long time, I just see that I'm giving up, I can't do it again. There's a way we've used some habit over time. Maybe the first time it happened, we just see that, okay, I'll go to God in prayer, we'll cry, we'll do all sort of things so that, God, I don't want to do these things again. But, you know, continuous use of all of these things, continuous use of these habits, there's a way that we can get to a point to just feel like, I'm not sure these things are possible. I think one of the things was shared some time ago is that it is possible to be free from sin. It is possible to live a daily life fellowshipping with the Holy Spirit. So those were just the things that kept me personally going, that it does not matter what I fellowship with over time, what I have found myself habits that I'm struggling with, and I'm wondering that, when will I overcome this? It's also tell myself that I should not give up. Reverend Busi was talking about the fact that many times on sickbed, there's a way we can lost our will, and you just feel like you can't fight anymore. I just noticed that continuous use of a certain habit, there's a way it can bring me to a consciousness whereby I'm not sure this thing is possible, but it's just bringing another awareness. You know, this message was just like a quickening and awareness to me that it does not matter how much I fellowship with things for a long time. You said thoughts comes, and when thoughts come, there are many times that we've ruminated on those thoughts for so long that until we just find ourselves jolted out of the thought, and you're wondering, how did I get here? By the time we start saying, maybe I started pleading blood of Jesus, casting and binding, by the time we do all of those things and the thought leaves, there's still some residue of those thoughts in me that they may even think like, okay, I think we were here yesterday. Let's go and check back. And one of the things, the anchor scripture, I think Matthew 12, 37, about the use of words, that there are many times that silence is just the best thing to say at some point. There are many times I just feel like maybe my husband is saying something, I just want to reply. And in the course of me trying to reply, I just say things I should not have said. And by my words, I can be justified. And by my words, I can be condemned. This scripture, I saw it another light. You know, it brought a fear upon my heart. And I'm wondering, God, I beg, please just help me with the way I talk, in the way I relate, even in all of this thing. So I think finally for me, I just saw out that many words has been coming to us. Many, you know, we just came from Beacon, and just seems as if, you know, for me, we came back from Beacon Sunday morning. You know, you are wondering that everywhere should still be charged up. And, you know, he said something that don't be so perturbed when you get home or when you leave this mountaintop and things are facing you, challenges are coming, and you're wondering that, but I thought I just prayed about this thing. It's just because many things will come and challenge those things that we have gotten. And by many sayings, by many speakings, many meetings, many words, they will cleanse us, they will build us, and we can be raised properly as men of the throne, that we can say indeed we've gained victory even over sin, over hell, and over death. Thank you.
Praise God. Praise the name of the Lord. Thank you so much, Sister Sheon. So clear. What we necessarily have to do, you know, as it were, you know, to make as much progress as we should, you know, in dealing with the throne of sin and death, you know, in our midst, or on our inside. Can we say amen? One of the things that I remember, so you said that day, was that one of the reasons why it is very difficult to deal with sin and death is because it is tied to our loves. It's tied to what we love. So, you know, it would have been easier if it was like you were dealing with a throne that is just there. Do you understand? That you had no dealings with. For example, you can castigate someone as long as that person is not your person. Are you guys what I'm trying to say? But the thing is that throne of sin and death has so married us, right? Married us by reason of love. So that when they are dealing with it, they are dealing with what you love. So somewhere, they are dealing with the throne of sin and death, but really what they are dealing with is you. So that way, it's more difficult, because rather than put yourself on the line, you would prefer to stay at a safe position so that you are not the one that is being attacked. So many times, if we are going to be really delivered, we will have to place ourselves. Now, ourselves is what we love. We have to place it on the line. So clearly, one of the things we must now begin to love is to now love the Son. That Reverend Zio was saying that one of the reasons for the ministry of the Son, one of the things we should do is to love the Son. I was reading that place in Songs of Solomon, chapter 3. That woman was going around saying that, "Have you found him whom my soul loveth?" Meaning that there's something about what you love. You go out to look for it. The picture in my heart was that if you love the Son, if you love the Lord, there's a way you would take that love. As a result of that love, you will journey.
before you realize, you'll be turned back and see that you are no longer in that zone where the authority of that throne of sin and death can have its hold on you. In that manner, you have journeyed. You have left that position. I don't know if you get what I'm trying to say. The Lord will help us in Jesus' name. Lastly, you know, let's just welcome Pastor Dayo Olawuni as he comes to, you know, seal up the deal for us tonight. Can we say amen?
Amen. Good evening, Daddy. Reverend Busuyi read 1 Corinthians 15, verse 54 at the beginning of the message, and one of the things he was trying to bring out of that is that sin can lose its power, its strength, and its victory. Sin can lose its throne. So he read, when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption. So everything that we call corruptible, everything corruption on my inside, everything that is of the mortal on my inside can become incorruption and can become immortal. So me, that is when I can say that throne of sin, death, grave, hell, that throne has lost its hold on my within. He also said, you know, another way he put it was, that was like one of the major things he was trying to, you know, embellish in that message. He said, thrones can be dissolved in us when new thrones are built. So, and he started talking about the DNA of the throne of sin, death, hell. And, you know, one of the things he said is, he said, one of the things that you find in such, in their DNA is love. You find cruelty. You find jealousy. He said, love which is as cruel as the grave, you know. And so one of the things you tend to notice when you see thrones, you know, some of the, you know, all these epic movies, when you watch epic movies, you see that a lot of times there is a lot of fightings. At times you see two kings. It looks as if they are friends. But somewhere there, they don't trust themselves. Inside, they are suspecting one another. So those are powers of thrones. There is love. There is cruelty. So those are things that thrones used to take foothold. There is this subtlety that thrones have. You know, remember, so he gave an example. He said that 80 years of your life, you have served a throne. You have served death. You did not respond at one point to God. And at the end of the 80 years, you now say you want to die a nice death, a sweet death. Get me an hotel. I want to just die gradually. I want to die in a loving manner. Actually, you have been deceived. You know, so he was trying to say that that's a throne at work. A throne is the one that will subtly enter into your life. And, you know, those are the most wicked levels of thronic works. And it was like, we have to be very aware. You must be aware of what you are fighting against. All right, so he said, thrones are built upon laws. And what came to my mind is, you know, the three arms of government that we have. You know, when we say, what are the three arms of government? For those that studied government in school, you say you have the judiciary, you have the legislative, you have the executive arm. And, you know, three arms of government are the executive, legislative, and judiciary branches, which work together to govern a nation. Meaning that if sin, hell, and death wants to govern me, they will have their own executive arm. They will have their judiciary arm. They will have their legislative arm. And the essence of all these things is to ensure that laws are working on my inside. And they kept explaining, said that, which work together to govern a nation under a system of separation of powers. They want to separate power. You don't even know that something is worrying you. Said separation of powers and checks and balances, ensuring that no single branch becomes too powerful. The executive branch implements and enforces laws. The legislative branch makes laws, and judicial branch interprets laws and the constitution. So he was saying that we have to be aware. As a man, as I am, like they said, I am a tabernacle. I am a throne on my inside. There are things that are happening on my inside that I can't even explain. But we must not be ignorant. He said, awaken unto righteousness. Because righteousness and judgment, you know, Pastor Timmy read that scripture, are the habitation of the throne of God. So if the throne of God will be established on my within, I must awaken to righteousness. I must awaken to a new set of laws. He says, secret sins. Secret things, he wasn't saying like, okay, I hide, you know, to go and, you know, you are in a household and, you know, everybody's, you know, eating one concussion rice and you have your chicken republic. That's not necessarily secret sin. He said that sins of intentions, sins that are deep down in my soul. You know, before you take an action,
Some things have happened in the secret. Those are thrones. There is one of them that is very close to you. The one that gives you suggestion. They are enforcing laws and they are interpreting laws on your inside. So, you know, later on, he went further and he said that we must be priests. He made mention that we must become priests and not just priests, high priests, because we grow in love. There are things that, you know, at my younger age, I loved. After some point, you gave the example of, you know, 2022 model of a car. When you tell a small baby, do you want 2022 model? He said, just give me a toy car. That's what he wants. He doesn't have love for that kind of thing. And I discovered that they must begin to touch down on our loves. Those are places where our awareness comes to play. Most times we feel we just stumble into doing some things. The reason why I don't have space for my sister in my heart, the reason why I don't have extra space for my brother in my heart, is because that space is being taken by another, something I love. It was like a season of search for me. And you know, sharing my own experience, one of them said that I must be a priest. And I wrote something down that, who is a priest? A priest is one that can keep and use laws. He said that my people perish for the lack of knowledge. The lips of the priest must keep knowledge. I must be able to have sufficient laws, you know, in my tabernacle, in my members. The first expression that comes to mind is in my home. How will I use laws for my child? How will I use laws to relate with my wife? How will I use laws to relate with my household? So, a priest is one who knows how to administer laws, who knows how to administer the victory that the Lord Jesus Christ has brought to us. Thank you so much.
We believe you have been enlightened through the ministry of the Word and Spirit, bringing you into a much deeper understanding of God's eternal purpose and plan. To find out more about us and our meetings, visit us at 12 Akinyemi Street off Allen Road, Ikeja, Lagos. You can also contact us on our website at www.lostyouchurch.org or call us on +234 9042 850714. Remain blessed.